Psalms 118. I'm going to read one verse, verse 18. So next verse that's in the Psalms. The Bible says, "The Lord has chasteneth me sore, but he has not given me over unto death." Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that you would use this message for the furtherance of the gospel. I pray that it would help us as believers in our walk with you. Help us to examine our life to make sure that we're living as you would want us to. And Lord, one thing of being saved, Lord, as your word says, that when we start moving away from you, Lord, that you will chasten us. Because of that warning that's given, trials that we go through in life, there could be things that we go through, some hardships. But Lord, you love us, and that chastening that comes is out of love. Lord, I pray that this would be a reminder to us. Maybe someone is backslidden or someone's getting ready to do that. Or, Lord, it just be a reminder to us. That way when the devil tempts us or we're tempted to sin, that we'll be reminded of the chastening that will come. And I pray that you use this message for the furtherance of the gospel. In Jesus' precious name, amen. It's interesting when you're reading the book of Psalms, especially this chapter. If you remember, as we're going through this chapter, in chapter 18, he starts off, he's giving thanks to the Lord. He's talking about how God's on his side. He's talking about how God is his strength. He's talking about the battles that he's gone through and how he's trusting the Lord and how God strengthened him. You know, last, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, verse 10 down to verse 17, where we finished. He was talking about all these people, these nations that was going against the psalmist. They were going against him like bees, and God delivered. And then, verse 18, "The Lord has chastened me sore." You know, there's sometimes in our life, it's after we have a great victory. After we have something that God does wonderfully for us. He delivers us. He answers that prayer. Whatever it is, he does something great. For whatever reason, it's like we get our eyes off the Lord, or we forget about what God has done for us, and we allow our guard to go down. And as our guard goes down, the devil throws that dart at us. He hits us with that in that area of our shield that we put down, that shield of faith. And then we start walking away from the Lord. And the reality is what happens. Then he chastens us to bring us back. That word sore, it talks about affliction, grief. Affliction and grief. So here it is, after talking, you know, first 17 verses about all that he's going through, and now he's talking about chastening, being chastened by God. I want you to think about that this evening in our lives. I don't know where you are spiritually. Hopefully you're right with the Lord. If not, can I tell you, chastening is coming, or you're either being chastened, chastening is coming, or if you're, praise God, in center of God's will, you're not going to be chastened, amen? He's not going to chasten you if you're doing what's right. Allow it to be a warning to us, amen? The Bible tells us this in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Can I tell you, the devil is watching you, watching your life, and he knows when you put that guard down, mark that shield, if you're putting it down, the devil sees it, and he's going to throw that dart at you.
Lord, I got a spear.
But anyway, he's coming, and we should not be naive to that. And the reality is, he will throw these darts to try to get us. And I want you to think about chastening this evening. Who here loves chastening? None of us, right? You like it? Well, whenever you're done, Mark and I will take you out to the woodshed and we'll show you what it's like. Amen. Turn over here to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So we're going to talk about chastening this evening. Chastening. This evening. Look here at Hebrews chapter 12. Now there's a blessing. There's blessings out of chastening. Alright? But when you're going through the chastening, It's not joyful. It's not fun. Hebrews chapter 12. It's not joy. It's not peace. It's not a good time. If you're being chastened, you think it's good. Well, rest assured, you're not being chastened. Amen. And when my dad used to chasten me, you know what chastening is? Chastening is, yeah, go ahead.
Discipline.
It's discipline, right? It's correction. It's done out of love, right? It's not never done out of hatred. So, but look what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 5. "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Right? None of us are perfect. We're all sinners. Amen. Even the day that we got saved, we know that we're sinners. And when God wants us to walk, we're talking about that this morning, that straight path for the Lord. And there'll be times where we do things we shouldn't do. And what God desires for us is when we do wrong, is to confess it. Right? Here it is. If I did something wrong, what I need to do is confess it. Now, the Bible also talks about confessing and forsaking. Do our best. Try not to do it again. Right? God hates presumption, presumptuous sin. Do you know what presumption sin is? You know what's wrong, and you're like, well, I'll just do it and ask God to forgive me. That's presumptuous sin. Well, the reality is, it's not just you doing the thing that's wrong. The other problem is it's your heart. You have a heart problem. And the reality is, you're thinking that God's going to forgive you, but you haven't dealt with the heart issue. You have a heart issue that you need to deal with. But anyway, here it is. He gives us instructions, right? And he tells us, despise not the chastening of the Lord. When you're being chastened. Now, chastening can be different things. God can do different things through chastening. Sometimes before you get to the chastening, it could just be a warning. My wife, she would tell me about her dad. Her dad, when they were, and this would be hard for you to imagine, but when Debbie, you know, when she was younger, she would act up that her dad would just, just look at you. Yeah, or he would get his belt and just go, whoop. You know, you take a belt and make that noise that's there. And look at her. She's already fearful again. Amen. Just thinking about it. Amen. And what was it? It was just that. Amen. It was just those words where she realized, whoa, right? And can I tell you, God, a lot of times when, you know, it could be through the preaching of the Word of God, where you hear the Word of God as you're reading it, the Holy Spirit convicts us. It could be through the preaching where you get convicted and God uses the preaching to get you to say, what am I doing? I need to get right with God. Now, sometimes you'll have the warning. Remember when David committed adultery with Bathsheba? You see a picture that's there. Because when David should have been out of battle. The Bible says when kings go out to battle, David didn't go out to the battle. He stayed home. So he was outside of where he should have been. And then what happened when he got up on that area that was there looking down? He saw that beautiful lady there and she was bathing herself. And when David looked, he should have just turned away. Well, that flash got him and he started to stare. He's like, wow, she's a beautiful lady. And he started to stare and he started to lust. And then after that, he acted upon that and he asked someone and said, hey, go get her for me. And then what happened? Someone said, hey, she's married. You know, that is like the Holy Spirit warning you and saying, hey, that's wrong. Don't do it. And what happened? David didn't listen to it and said, go get her. And she came back and he commits adultery. And then she left. Fire didn't come down from heaven at that time. But can I tell you, the fire did come later. Amen. Not literally, but and then what happened? She got pregnant. You know, and then she told David, and then he was like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? He tried to cover up his sin. And you know, David was chastened over that. There was a prophet that came to David and told him what he did. And do you know what happened to David? David ended up, after that period of time, if you look, there was always battles that he would have. His one son tried to do it. And the son that he had, he lost. Folks, can I tell you, chastening can result in, just a warning, chastening can also result in trials. Trials that come into your life. Now, don't misunderstand. Sometimes trials happen because it's just common to man, right? Sometimes God allows trials to come. It's not chastening, but it's to strengthen us and to help us. Sometimes trials come as a result of God chastening us. God is trying to get our attention, to wake us up, and He's allowing a trial to come into our life. Now, again, go back to the example of Job. What Job went through, those people assumed he wasn't right with God. He was right with God, right? So don't assume just because someone's in a trial they're not right with God. But the reality is this. When you go through a trial, you know, one of the first things you should do? You should get down on your knees and pray and say, Lord, is it something I have done that caused this trial? And if the Lord, you know, as He works in your heart, saying it's not that, then you know there's something that God says He's going to use it for good. Amen? And if God reveals to you through the preaching or is reading His Word in your heart, and it's like you know there's the things that are coming is because of a trial, you know what to do? Get right! Amen? Just say, Lord, forgive me. Amen? If not, because the trial will keep on happening. So sometimes it could be trials. And you know it could get to the place where someone is chastened by God where it could lead to death. In the book of John, I think it's 1 John, I'm getting a little bit further myself, but in 1 John chapter 5, he talks about there is a sin unto death, where I believe it's a believer that knows to what's right and will not repent and get to the place where, I don't care, I'm just going to do whatever. And they crossed the line and God said, there is a sin unto death. On Sunday evening, on first Sunday of every evening, we do a communion service, the Lord's Supper. And through there, we always read, or I always read, in the Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. And in there it says, and some sleep. He's talking about there were believers, and what was it? God chastened them, and ultimately they died. Can I tell you, chastening can, yes, bring trials. Yes, chastening can bring death. Chastening can affect your life. And in David's example, he lost his son. Can I tell you, chastening, here it is. He's given us a warning. A lot of times when God chastens us, He may warn us and bring something in our life. And if we're not listening, right, and then we just keep on moving, can I tell you, it's going to get worse. Amen? Get right with Him. Amen? But anyway, that's what he's saying. He says, don't be faint, right? When you're going through it, don't faint, don't quit, right? Realize there's a reason for it. It goes on, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scorneth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with son, for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then you're bastards and not son. Amen? Well, I tell you, I like to use these verses when I talk to someone that says that you lose your salvation, and I usually ask them, well, you know, let's say that this person lost their salvation, so are they still a child of God? If they die, no, they go to hell. And I said, well, who does God chasten? God chastens His children. So if this person is not right with God and they die to go to hell, so why would God chasten them? That means they're not the son, right? It's dumb, amen? God only chastens His children. So you have to think about chastening. One of the things of chastening is it's evidence of salvation, right? If I left here and went home, and after my wife went to bed, that I got up and just got to the car, went out, and went to the store and got a six-pack, whatever it was, right? You know, it was light. I don't know what time it would be. It's 11, 12 o'clock. I'm sure there's some store that's open at that time. I'm usually in bed and sleep, right? But let's say it's a six-pack. I go get a six-pack, and I sit down, and I drink one. You know, the truth of the matter is, God will chasten me. If I could sit there and drink a six-pack and then, you know, do it again and do it again and do it again and do it again, and there's no chastening, you know what that means, Mark?
I mean, it is.
Amen. That's what that scripture's saying. Amen?
Now, that doesn't mean I'm perfect, right? I'm not perfect, amen? But what I'm saying is, if I can go and sin and sin and sin and sin, and God's not chastening me, there's something wrong. There's either something wrong with this book, because God said He chastens His children, or there's something wrong with me. There's not something wrong with the book. You know what that means? There's something wrong with me. Amen? God only chastens His children. Do you know what bugged me? When I was 5 years old, I made a profession of faith. And then you would have never known it if you would have saw my life. I went out drinking and did all those things. But you know, Mark, I would be asked, someone would ask me, are you a Christian? And I would tell them I was a Christian. I would tell them I was a Christian. I'd go back and say, hey, I made a profession of faith and stuff. But you know what really got me? When I look at these verses and it says God will chase me, then I start to wonder, why didn't God chasten me? I would go out and get drink and stuff like that. Why wasn't I chastened? And then I start to think, it's because I'm not His. Folks, what I'm saying is this. God chastens His children. And one of the things, a blessing is this. It's proof that you are a child of God. Amen? I don't know about you, but since I've been saved, I remember a time where God chastened me. And again, I'm not talking about, I didn't go out drinking and whatever. Right? I didn't go out and do all that stuff. I'm just talking about there was something in my life that I did, and God chastened me. And John, let me tell you, I knew it was God, and I knew why, and I didn't like it. You know what I did? I got right. Amen? Folks, what I'm saying is this. You know it when it's God. When my dad spanked me when I was little, when I was younger, I didn't turn around and wonder if it was mom that was spanking me. I didn't turn around and be like, are you done? You know, I was dumb, but I really wasn't that dumb. Well, maybe I was. But anyway, I knew it that he spanked me. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, we could see here, he talks about it's evidence of salvation, but it's done out of love. As parents, when you correct your children, it should always be out of love. Amen? When you spank your children, the reality is it should be done out of love. Don't ever spank your children when you're angry. If you do that, you're wrong. Don't ever spank them when you're angry. You're going to say, well, you don't know what they did and I'm all worked up. Then you need to make sure you get alone with God. Sit down and get alone with God before you spank them. And if you can't get right with God and you're still angry, don't spank them. You know why? Because you're angry and you could do something you're going to regret. Amen? So if you need to, wait. You know the well blessing is when you wait, they have to wait, Mark. Amen? Yeah, and they're waiting, right? And it's working on them, amen? Allow God to work on you, amen? Make sure you're right with the Lord. And then explain to them why they got the spanking, right? Who did the wrong? You did, right? How can you know for sure you're not going to get one again? Don't do it, right? Because I love you, the Bible says that I have to do this to correct you. I don't want to do it. But God tells me to do it. Why? Because if I don't correct you, the truth of the matter is you'll just think that you're going to get away with stuff. And you don't, right? So anyway, you do it out of love. But you think about it, it's done out of love. It's evidence of salvation. But chastening is to correct an error. Correct an error. As we continue to read, it says, furthermore, we have had followers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Showed them respect. You should show respect to your parents. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Spirit, the Father of spirits and live? For they barely for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Here it is. He's saying there can be even some parents that do it. And maybe they didn't correct you for the right reason. That wasn't me, Ariana. Amen. No. Wait till you get home. Amen. I'll show you. Amen. No. But anyway, he says there may be that, right? God says what? For heir prophet. There's a reason why God chastens you. It's for your profit. You're going the wrong way. He's trying to correct you. That we might be partakers of his holiness. Right?
You just can't go out and live in sin and continue to live in sin if you're a child of God. No, God's going to chasten you and get you back. Amen? He goes on. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. There's not been a single time that I recall in my life when I got a spanking from my dad that I turned around and rejoiced and jumped and said, this is the greatest day I've ever had in my life. Never. What's that?
I've done that multiple times.
Wait till you get home.
The day of my life when it's over.
When it's over, there you go. But what does it say? It's not joyful, it's grievous. You don't like it. I don't know about you, but if I'm not right with God and I'm going through a trial, I don't like that. You know? I don't like it, you know. There's things that are there. I didn't like it when I remember back to that day that God chased. I did not like that at all. But look what it says. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What is he saying? Those who got right. Those who got the message. I remember one time I heard this boy, he was getting ready to get a spanking. Then he got a spanking, right? And I remember him saying, I got the message! I got the message! One time, I don't know if you remember that, but anyway, he's like, I got the message! You know? Folks, can I tell you that what God's desire is for us to get the message, right? God doesn't want to chasten us per se. God doesn't want to bring these trials in, or God doesn't want to do these things. But He knows that's the way to get us to turn around, right? He's getting our attention, right? He's saying, whoa, something is not right. I'm not right with God. Whoa, these things are happening to me. What's going on? And turn around and say, what? I need to make sure I'm right, right? And that's what he's saying. It brings a peaceable fruit. You don't have peace because you're not in fellowship anymore. Do you ever think about this? When you're backslidden and when you pray, your prayers aren't being answered. Do you ever think about that? You may say, well, preacher, I prayed about this and it worked out. How do you know it was your prayer and not someone else praying for you? Do you ever think about that? Truth is, I pray for y'all every single day. Amen. I'm glad my mom and dad, they prayed for me, right? So it could be your parents. Who knows? It could be your children. Who knows? Amen. Folks, what I'm saying is this. You don't have peace and you have a hindrance of your prayer life. And if you have a hindrance of your prayer life, you know what that means? You no longer have fellowship. And if you no longer have fellowship with God, well, then you're missing the joy. You're missing the peace. And now what? God knows that you're going to be making bad decisions. And now God's goal is to chasten you, to turn you around and get you to go this direction. And what does it bring? It produces the fruit, right? We see here, so how should we respond? Well, he tells us, you know, in verse 5, he tells us, In verse 5, it tells us, don't despise it, right? Stop making excuses. Stop pushing it to the side. Just realize. Don't ever get to the place and say, I don't care. Now you're in trouble. Amen? Don't get to that place, right? Don't faint when you're rebuked, right? Realize God's using it for good, right? He's trying to get our attention. What we need to do is respond in the right way. Well, how is that? You repent. Lord, I'm sorry. Right? Sometimes health problems can be a result of chastening. Now, sometimes health problems is just a result of getting older, right? But sometimes chastening, there can be things that happen, right? So we have to realize these things. Remember Jonah? Do you remember Jonah? You know, Jonah was a righteous man. He was a good prophet. He preached the word of God. But you know, most times we don't think of that of Jonah. You know what we remember of Jonah? When he got swallowed by a whale. Why did Jonah get swallowed by the whale? He was a man of God. He was a preacher of righteousness. He told people what was right. He would not do what God wanted him to do. You know what happened? God chastened him. And what? Put him in a whale.
He took him 3 days before. Yeah. You imagine that? You imagine being in a well for 3 days? Yeah, it would stink down there. Amen. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? You know? Oh, I could just tell you, I think he was probably the first Baptist, right? He was just stubborn. He was just sitting on the gallbladder. I don't know what a whale has. Amen. Just sitting there. And he was just like, I ain't getting right with God. I mean, he's in darkness, you know. Seaweed is all going around in the water that's coming down to him. I ain't getting right with God. I'm not going there. And then something happened. He realized, he says, you know, those that trust in lying vanities, you know, lose out of the mercy of God. That he prays to God and says, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, I'll go. Even though his heart wasn't right, he repented. And what happened? That whale had to go up on the beach and puke him out. And Jonah then went to that place and he preached to those people. But we remember Jonah. What happened to him? Jonah went through chastening. Right? You think about others that are in Scripture. Remember David? David went through trials. David was chastened because of his response. Folks, can I tell you, you can go through others and see others in Scriptures. The best thing to do is to repent. And then do what God wants us to do. Amen? Be obedient. It's quite easy. Amen? The other thing is this. Surrender. Surrender. Stop fighting. You know? Just stop fighting. It's just, it doesn't make sense. If you think you can fight and get away from God, I mean, you're really not thinking straight. You're not going to get away with it, you know. Jonah could have said, you know what? I'm not going to repent. Jonah, you know what would happen to Jonah? He would have became well dung. He would have. He would have died in that belt. I mean, if you think that you can just keep on going that which way, well, you can. I remember a time when we were down in North Carolina a few years ago, and the preacher that was there, I like the church. It's a really nice church down there. When we were leaving, the pastor's wife was saying, you know, we were telling her about our area that's up here, how cold it is. And she said, you know, you could always stay down here during the winter time, you know. And, you know, she was just saying, you know, it'll be fine to stay down there. Do you know what I did to her? And I was joking, but I was serious. I looked at her and I said, I feel weird to look at Mark and say, ma'am. I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I said, didn't you hear that preaching? They had a missionary that was there that was just preaching on Jonah. I said, ma'am, didn't you hear what he just preached on Jonah? I said, God called me to Augsburg. You want me to stay down here? I said, we're by the water. Next thing I know, I'm going to go out there and next thing I know, there's going to be a whale that's going to come. I'm going to get swallowed by the whale. Ma'am. I'm going back to Augsburg. I was joking with her, but I was also serious. Folks, I want to make sure I stay where God wants me to be. Why? Because I don't like chastening. Amen? But we see that chastening is for our profit. Look at what the Bible says over here to Psalms 119. Chastening is for our profit. Look what David said here. Or just, I think it was David. May have been one of the psalmists. But look here in Psalms 119. I like joy and peace in my heart. I like getting my prayers answered. Amen? I just enjoy fellowship. Amen? I do. I just enjoy fellowship. Look here what the Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, remember where he says chastened sore? That word sore is defined as afflicted, right? Grieved. Before I was afflicted, what was he saying? Before he went through chastening, what was it? I went astray. And what did chastening do? But now have I kept thy word.
That's the result. That's what God wants you to happen through chastening. David said that he was afflicted. What was he? Went through trials. He went through these trials or whatever it was that he went through. And what was it? It got him right. And now he's thankful that he went through it. That's the joy that comes afterwards, after the grief. And he says, you know what I'm doing now? I'm keeping your word. Look what the Bible says here, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, right? David sees now the good of correction, chastening. When you're going through it, you don't see it. David, or the psalmist, sees it now. It says, that I might learn thy statutes. He got the message. Look what the Bible says here. I think it's verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and thou in faithfulness have afflicted me. What was the psalmist saying? I got afflicted. I went through grief. I went through trials. I went through something in my life. And I know the reason. Lord, it's because you're faithful and you love me. Right? Folks, can I tell you, the psalmist learned it. Look what the Bible says over here to Psalms 51. In Psalms 51. In Psalms 51, Psalms 51, you can write down and you can check it later, but Psalms 38 and verse 1 through 10, Psalms 38 verse 1 through 10, you'll see David was chastened by God. He felt alone. He knew God was chastening him, and it wasn't joyful, right? But look here in Psalms 51. This is after David got chastened. And look what David did. Verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David is now repenting. He's getting right with God. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Here it is. David saw it. Before, he didn't see it. But can I tell you, God has a way of bringing it out. David saw it. Look what he says. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David realizes and says, Lord, I have sinned against you, and you are righteous and holy to judge me, to bring whatever chastening upon me. But he's repenting. You see how things have changed to David's heart here? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest the truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou hast made me to know wisdom. Stop lying to yourself. You're not fooling anyone. You're fooling yourself. I'm right with God. Well, maybe, are you sure? Amen. David said, hey, Lord, I know, right? I wasn't right with you. And he's getting it right. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness. He lost it. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. What? He's being chastened. He's saying, Lord, bring back that joy. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Look what it create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. A right spirit. His spirit wasn't right. Right? What was it? Because he's going the wrong way. What was he? You could see that he truly repented, right? It was a change of mind. He was going the wrong direction. Now he's going the right direction and saying, Lord, help me. I need help. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So, just a side note that's there. Why did the Holy Spirit come upon the believers at this time and could leave? Anybody remember? This is Old Testament. Why would the Holy Spirit come upon David in the Old Testament and then also could leave?
Because he did the
assignment in heaven. Yes, I think we had all three that was going there. It was like tic-tac-toe or something that's going there. Because Jesus did not die, was buried and rose again, right? Because of that, the Holy Spirit could not. And that's what he said, right? So think about when he was sinning or against God, he wasn't right with God. The reality is this. Think about it. The Holy Spirit could have left him.
and would come and dwell on him, right? He realized it. Sin will get you not to have that peace and joy, and you'll lose the fellowship, and then you'll forget. You'll forget what you have. Look what, restore unto me, look at this, the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He wanted that joy again. You know, some of the most miserable people, lost people, but backslidden Christians. Because there's not the joy, right? They lost the joy. And look at this. After he said all these things and saying, Lord, help me to get right. Help me to do what I should. Bring back that joy. Then he says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David didn't want to be a hypocrite. David didn't want to, you know, he's not right with the Lord, you know. David wanted to get right with the Lord, and after he got right with the Lord, he was like, man, I'll teach him, right? David didn't want to be a hypocrite. And we shouldn't be hypocrites either, amen? But what do we see here? He didn't make an excuse. He didn't make an excuse and say, Lord, that lady was beautiful, you know. He didn't make an excuse. I mean, why was she out there bathing anyway, Lord? You know? No. I did it. I sinned against you, right? She shouldn't have been out that way, and she shouldn't have been. You know, maybe one of the blessings out of it, don't misunderstand, is, what was his name, Uriah? Was that the guy's name? Yeah. Do you know, one of the blessings out of that is, Mark, Uriah did not know that his wife cheated on him.
Imagine having your king cheat on you because your wife.
Yeah, that was probably the only good thing out of it. You know, the reality is this. You know, she cheated on him with David. It makes you wonder. You know, anyway.
Well, she'd been with.
Yeah, there you go. So, it's a good thing that man didn't know that. Because I guarantee you that man would have been, he would have been mad. But this is all free for you. You want to talk about a man of character? Uriah is a man of character. That he would not go to his house with his wife because he was in battle. He knew, nope, I have to keep my mind here. I go back there. He was a man of character that when David wrote a letter to him, that was his death in that letter. Said, hey, you take this. You want to talk about a man of the character? He never opened it up and looked at it. Maybe I'll do a little peeking. Whoa, I'm going to die. A man of character, right? Oh, can I tell you, we need more people like that of character. Amen. But folks, what I'm saying is this. He got right with the Lord. So let me sum it up. If you go back here to Psalms 118, I'm almost done. Psalms 118. What David says here in verse 18. The Lord chastened me sore, sore. He afflicted me, gave me grief. But He has not given me over unto death. Can I tell you, thank God, amen, that God, even though He chastens us, here David or whoever the psalmist was, that even though he was afflicted and he went through this trial, the reality is this, God didn't call him home. God helped him to learn through it, and then he would go on, right? So, I guess the message that you can think of is this, you know, when you're chastened by God, don't get mad at God. Realize it's at you. When there's things in your life, one of the first things that you can do, and I try to do that, sometimes I forget, but what I try to do, when I go through things, I just pray and say, Lord, is there something I have done to cause this, to bring this upon me? And if not, say, Lord, what do you want me to learn from it? Because Romans 8:28 says God will use everything for good. Help me to learn. Help me learn quickly. That's through it. But when you are chastened, get right. Amen? Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Stop making excuses. Stop. Keep on going. Turn around and say, Lord, help me. But again, it's interesting. It's right in the middle of this psalm. And the first 17 verses that you read, you know what you see? He's going through things, and he sees the power of God. He sees the strength of God. All these things are happening, and then he's like, oh yeah,
I get chastened, right? Don't be surprised in your life when you're living for the Lord and things are going good. Then ultimately you get away from the Bible, you get away from church, you get away from praying like you should. And what happens? That you start backsliding. And then what could happen? Chastening is coming. I hope that this isn't a message that brought you under conviction because you're not right with God. I hope it's a message that's more of you're living for the Lord, and it'll be a reminder to you, hey, just stay, amen. Don't go that way. Keep on going the way God wants you to go. Let's close. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach, and Lord, I pray that this message is a help and a blessing, and Lord, it'll be a reminder to me and help me to make sure I'm still living for you, and Lord, be faithful to you. I pray for these people. People here, people on the phone, people listen. Lord, I don't know their hearts. You do. And Lord, if there's someone or more that are doing things they shouldn't do, Lord, I'm sure that you have warned them, and hopefully they have listened to that they would repent. And Lord, or if they're in chastening or getting ready to go in chastening, I pray that they would remember this. Allow the Holy Spirit bring back this message. And Lord, that they would get right with you. Because, Lord, I know you desire to have that fellowship. And I pray that it would help us in our walk. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home, that you would bless in a special way. In Jesus' precious name, amen.